You know, think about it for a minute. I mean, when there's an ongoing international discussion of compensation from nations that may have created the conditions for extreme storms like that typhoon in the Philippines, then you're really no longer talking about the traditional act of God as an explanation for the sudden destruction wrought by natural disasters. Such explanations may be irresistible in times of great tragedy, as when Governor Chris Christie tried to console the people of New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy.
The people of New Jersey are in need, and not from their own actions, but from an act of God that delivered a natural, human, and financial disaster.
What is an act of God in our time? And will this idea eventually be obsolete based on our scientific understanding of how humans are changing the Earth? Joining us now is Ted Steinberg, professor of history and law at Case Western Reserve University and the author of Acts of God, The Unnatural History of Natural Disaster in America. Professor, welcome.
Hi, John.
I want to note your forthcoming book is all about the ecological history of Greater New York. Would you refer to Sandy as an act of God in your upcoming book?
No, I wouldn't, John. I don't think that's a particularly helpful way of thinking about these sorts of events. When Sandy happened, actually, Chris Christie aside, the reality is that there was more talk about the role of Mother Nature, which is the secular equivalent of an act of God. These sorts of statements, the city can't control Mother Nature, which was something that the president of the New York Real Estate Board said at the time, are not helpful. They're a form, in my opinion, of moral hand washing.
And what is the history of the notion of an act of God in, say, insurance settlements and compensation for disasters down through history?
Well, as I said, I'm not. My feeling is that this is an attempt to shed responsibility. It's fine, I think, for people and understandable for people to invoke God in order to come to grips with a difficult event like a natural calamity. But when public leaders invoke this kind of language, it's problematic for several reasons. And Sandy's a good example. I mean, the reality is that God and nature had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that despite all the property and people at risk in Greater New York from a storm like Sandy, the Army Corps of Engineers had no comprehensive flood protection study, had done no flood comprehensive flood protection study up to this point. The FEMA maps of the New York area were hopelessly out of date. And, of course, it had been known for some time that New York was highly exposed to coastal flooding, and its level of defense was just a fraction of the level of defense in places like London, Amsterdam, Tokyo, Shanghai, and others.
And so as we know more about how climate has an impact on the places where humans choose to live, does the legal definition of an act of God go away? And does liability just fundamentally increase because one can come up with any number of scenarios for responsibility for various destruction?
Well, the legal aspects of this are not something that I've studied in any real detail. What I'm mostly focused on in my work is the ways in which these sorts of statements, this kind of rhetoric, act of God, act of nature, the role of Mother Nature in these kinds of scenarios is invoked to shed responsibility for things that could have been done and could have been avoided. And I think Hurricane Katrina actually is a good example of what I'm talking about here. After the disaster, Dick Cheney flew to Louisiana in 2005 and said things like, we need to recognize the severity of what Mother Nature has done to us here. But Mother Nature had nothing to do with the fact that the Bush administration had cut funds for urban flood control just a few years before in order to fund the war in Iraq. Mother Nature had nothing to do with the fact that the Bush administration appointed Mike Brown, a lawyer with no real emergency preparedness experience, to head up FEMA. And it not for nothing, but it wasn't exactly a secret that since the 1960s, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was much more interested in the economic development of wetlands than it was in the safety of the people of Louisiana. And it was also, of course, just like in New York, Hurricane Katrina, a perfectly predictable disaster. I mean, people had been talking about the possibility for mass death, which is what happened there in 2005, for years before the storm. And I actually even mentioned it in my book, which was published in 2000.
So let's just take God out of it completely. Is there, I mean, one in hindsight can always come up with a chain of causality that would suggest that a different level of preparedness would have changed events. But what is indeterminate in our relationship with nature and in the places that we live these days? If the weather isn't, is it just about asteroids and the sun blowing up?
Well, there's sure. I mean, I'm not trying to argue that there aren't indeterminate aspects to these sorts of geophysical extremes. The wind blows, the earth shakes, things happen like that. However, the reality is that natural disasters, when they happen, are about the intersection of geophysical extremes and human history. And that's a complex interaction. And it's not going to be solved, these sorts of calamities, by a reliance on market imperatives and private property-driven development alone. This is where science and law, where rules and regulations have a role to play in helping to lessen the death and destruction.
We have to eliminate the blanks and really fundamentally understand what our relationship with nature is if we're going to come up with responses and not simply revert to the act of God notion there. Ted Steinberg, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ted Steinberg is professor of history and law at Case Western Reserve University, author of the forthcoming book, Gotham Unbound, The Ecological History of Greater New York.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.